Let's turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. Remember last week we started looking at the blessing of Isaac, and he's going to bless in his own eyes the wrong person, although he's blind. That's why he blesses the wrong person. But in God's eyes, of course, it will be the right person. Remember last time we started off talking about the disobedience of Isaac and Esau in chapter 27, verses 1 through 4. Let's read those. 27:1 says, "Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, 'My son,' and he said to him, 'Here I am.' Isaac said, 'Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow. Go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die.'" So we have disobedience, because Isaac was preparing to give his blessing to Esau. And that was directly in opposition to what God had told Rebekah. And she said that the blessing was to go to Jacob. So they were disobedient. When Rebekah overheard this, and she overheard this conversation, she immediately devised a plot. And that plot is in verse 5 through 10. And what it basically boils down to is that as soon as she heard of Isaac's plan, she acted immediately and made a plot to thwart his plans. And in fact, it's a Machiavellian plot. It's kind of interesting. What would be the normal course of affairs in a good marriage if a husband was going to do something that unspiritual and that stupid? Well, I would say, Rebekah, why didn't you just go to Isaac and say, "Look, Isaac, don't you remember the promise that, or the command that God gave to me, saying that Jacob should receive the blessing instead of Esau?" Instead of doing that, she devises this Machiavellian scheme to get him to bless Jacob instead of Esau. So it's they're what we would call in modern terminology a dysfunctional family, to say the least. This section reads, as I said last time, it reads like a TV sitcom, because he wants to do something, so she goes behind his back and devises a plan to get him to do something else. She makes the plan. She prepares Jacob to go into Isaac and to get the blessing, and she prepares him by making him look like Esau and making the meal for him that Esau requested, or that Isaac requested that Esau make. A lot of names here. I'll get them wrong. So first rule of Bible study at Beth Haven is learn what I'm thinking and not what I'm saying, if you can do that. But anyway, Jacob is prepared to go in and deceive his father Isaac. And that's where we left off last time. So now we're going to have the execution of Rebekah's plan. And that will be nothing short of the theft of the blessing. Even though God said it should be this way, they should have waited and let God work it out. So it would have been this way. Would God fail to do what he said? Of course not. So they're going to steal the blessing. And that's verse 18 through 29. So let's read those verses now. Starting at verse 18, it says, "Then he came to his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, so that you may bless me.' And Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. So he said, bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you. And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come close and kiss me, my son. So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now this is the center of the story. That is, Jacob deceived his father and received the blessing. Now, it was supposed to be his blessing. God had said that, but he got it by means of deception and not by trusting God to bring it about as it should have been done. So they appear to be successful. And when I say they, I mean Rebekah and Jacob. They appear to be successful through their deception because Isaac does, in fact, bless Jacob. But you know, there are two big lies in this deception. And the first one are pertaining to his identity when he says, I am your son Esau. Well, this is Jacob speaking. It wasn't Esau. So he flat out lied to his father. The second one, in verse 20, he says, how is it that you have it so quickly, my son? And that's the meal. How did you go out and hunt game and fix it up for me so quickly? Well, he said, your God expedited things. Your God made it that way. So that's nothing short of blasphemy. So not only does he lie, he blasphemes by saying God did something that he did not do. So the blessing was stolen, and it was stolen by completely dishonest means. Now, in spite of the claims of Jacob, Isaac still isn't senile. He still has enough sense to realize that that doesn't sound like Esau's voice. So he wants to put him to a further test. Remember, he's blind, so he can't see him. But he says, he wants to put him to a closer examination. And at the end of verse 23, it says, he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now that should read, technically, he was about to bless him because he hasn't actually blessed him yet. Because at verse 24, he says, are you really my son Esau? So he had his doubts. He says, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. So Jacob gets a chance to lie again. So only after he eats the meal, he smells his son's clothing, which was Esau's clothing. Remember, Rebekah went out and got Esau's clothing and put it on Jacob. And she put lamb's wool, I guess, on his back of his hands and his neck so he would feel hairy to the touch to deceive Isaac. And only after he ate the meal, he smelled the clothing, he felt the hairiness of his son, and he says, okay, this must be this must be Esau then, so I'll give him the blessing. And that's verse 27, where it says, so he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. So that's when the blessing occurs. Now, the blessing itself has four parts. The first element is based on the smell of Esau's clothing. It says, like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. And that's how he describes the smell of Esau's clothing. And he goes on to say, see, the smell of my son, we're in verse 27 yet, is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So that blessing represents fertility in Jacob. The second element in the blessing is fertility in the field. And that goes on in verse 28. It says, now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. So there we have two elements of the blessings. The third element, made Jacob lord over his brethren and over nations. But the blessing making him lord over his brethren is the one that really touches off Esau. This is the one that really gets his goat. And Esau's going to get mad about this. He's not going to just let it pass. And we'll see that in a moment. It says in verse 29a, may people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers. And again, that's the one that Esau doesn't like at all. May your mother's sons bow down to you. And the fourth, that's the third, the fourth blessing is protection. And this blessing, if it sounds familiar, in the last part of verse 29, where it says, cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. If that sounds familiar to you, turn back to chapter 12. Because in Genesis chapter 12, that's the blessing that God gave to Abraham to begin with. And that started the chain. Remember, Abraham is the father of all the Jewish peoples. And we're working our way down through the line that carries the blessing of God. And in chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. So this is the formal passing on of that blessing from Isaac to Jacob. So now we're tracing the line, and we'll be tracing this line throughout the book of Genesis. In fact, chapter 28 begins the story of Jacob, which is rather a long story in the Old Testament, because he's a rather important person in the Old Testament. In fact, he is the father of all those we call Israelites. That's because his name is going to be changed to Israel, and we'll see that in a future class. So, Jacob is made lord over his brethren and over nations, and he is given the blessing of protection that God gave to Abraham. So what is the result then of this deception? Well, the result is this. By interfering with God's plan, Rebekah and Jacob gained nothing. They gained nothing, and they lost a great deal. Now, how can I say that? How can I say they gain nothing when you read this, Jacob gained the blessing? Well, look back at Genesis 25 and verse 23. In 25:23, and this is God talking to Rebekah, it says, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, they already had God's promise that Esau would serve Jacob. Because Esau was the oldest, remember? He came out first. So technically, he was the oldest. In fact, Jacob means heel grabber because he had a hold of Esau's heel when he came out, because he came out second. So in fact, God had already said that Jacob would be the chosen seed, and Esau would not. So when they devised this big Machiavellian plot, this huge deception to deceive Isaac, to get the blessing on Jacob, what did they gain? Absolutely nothing. God already promised them that that would be the case. So they didn't gain anything, but they lost a great deal. First, Rebekah lost her son. You know, we're going to read on and we'll find out that Jacob has to run for his life. And there'll be two reasons that Jacob actually leaves. But one of them is because Esau is so mad, he cooks up a plot to kill Jacob. So Jacob has to run for his life. And as far as we know, according to the Bible, his mother never saw him again. So his mother, in trying to do God's work for him, actually messed up. She actually ended up a loser because she lost her son, her most beloved son, Jacob. Jacob lost his home. He had to get out of Dodge, as we would say, because he had to leave or be killed by his brother Esau. And in fact, from this time on, as we'll see, Jacob's life was pretty much pursued by misfortune. Look at Genesis chapter 47. In Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, we have Jacob speaking. And what does he have to say about his life? And this is Jacob, the one who won, quote unquote, by this big deception that Rebekah and he pulled off on their Isaac. Verse 9, so Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life." And that's what he has to say looking back over his life. "Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life." So after this plot, Jacob is pursued by misfortune. Why? Because he didn't trust God. He didn't wait for God to do what God promised he would do. Now in we're back in Genesis 27 again. In verse 30 through 40, we have the discovery of the deception. Let's read those verses. Starting at verse 30, it says, "Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me.' Isaac, his father, said to him, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn, Esau.' Then Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was he that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of it all, or all of it, before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed.' When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, my father.' And he said, 'Your brother has came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing.' Then he said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' But Isaac replied to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master and all his relatives. I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." So Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you will live, and your brother you shall serve. And it shall come about, when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck." So we have the discovery of the deception. Now it's kind of interesting, in verse 34 it says, "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, 'Bless me.'" So he's really upset here. The question you have to ask yourself is, why is he upset? Why does he want the blessing? Remember, he sold his birthright for a plate of stew, and he didn't think another thing about it. Big deal. It meant nothing to him. As the text says, he despised his birthright. It didn't mean anything to him. So why is he so upset about the blessing here? He despised his birthright. He had no interest whatsoever in the spiritual aspects of the blessing, but he understood enough about it to know that it involved political superiority for himself and for his children. He knew that much about it, and that's what set him off, because he wasn't going to get the power that Jacob was going to get. He wasn't going to get the political power. He didn't care about the spiritual side of things. He wanted that political power that Jacob would get. In verse 30 through 36, we have the actual discovery itself. When Esau arrives with the meal that he had prepared, and we just read that in verse 30 through 32, and Isaac realizes the deception. Now, Isaac throws a tantrum too in 33. It says, "Then Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was he that hunted game and brought it to me?'" So he is very upset. He throws a tantrum. The Hebrew is quite graphic in this sentence. It says, "Isaac trembled very exceedingly with a great trembling." So he was really mad. But he also knew there was no going back. Verse 33, the last part of the verse, it says, "Yes, and he shall be blessed." He says, "I blessed your brother, and yes, he shall be blessed." Because he knew as well as Esau, as well as Jacob, and as well as Rebekah, that God had said Jacob was the one that would be the successor of the promise. They all knew that. They were just kind of being rebellious and disobedient, the whole family, in one way or another. So he did have enough confidence in God to realize that God's word in this respect would be fulfilled. Verse 36, we have a word play. It says, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." And what two times is he talking about? First, the birthright. Remember, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. He didn't care. Didn't mean anything to him. He ate the soup, got up and left. Never thought another thing about it. Now the blessing of his father Isaac goes to Jacob instead of him. So he says that in verse 36, "He is rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times." And if you look up the word Jacob in a Hebrew lexicon, you'll find out that it means supplanter. Now, when I did that, I looked it up and found out it means supplanter. I had to go to an English dictionary and find out what supplanter meant. I don't know if any of you would have to do that or not. But what it means is to replace, to supersede, to displace, to take over from. That's what the word Jacob means. So he was well named because he took over from Esau his both his birthright and his blessing. So Jacob had been named just to commemorate, as you'll recall, when they were born, remember Jacob came out holding on to Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob because of that. And it was kind of just a funny thing, you know, we'll name him Jacob because he's holding Esau's heel. Well, Esau took that to be very ominous, obviously, as he says here. He's well named because he supplanted me these two times. Now, in verse 39 and 40, we have what you might call an anti-blessing. And that's Esau's, what he gets. In verse 39 and 40, it says, "Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, 'Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve.'" So that's what you might call an anti-blessing. We had the blessing of Jacob, now we have the anti-blessing of Esau. Pretty much a reiteration of the fact that the real blessing had gone to Jacob, only it's just turning it around and saying it the other way. Jacob is going to get this, and then the anti-blessing, Esau, you're not going to get this. So that's what we might call it, the anti-blessing. And it says, your brother you shall serve. So now, Rebekah sends Jacob away. And we'll find out there's two reasons that, well, actually Rebekah and Isaac both are going to send away Jacob, and for two reasons. And that's in verse 41 through 45. Let's read those. Verse 41 says, "So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.' Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, 'Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day?'" So Rebekah decides to send Jacob away when Esau decides to kill Jacob. And Rebekah, she must have a spy network going because she got word of it. And she immediately made a plan to save her son Jacob. So we see that even though Jacob seems to have gotten what he wanted, he got the blessing from Isaac, right? But now he's incurring the wrath of his brother Esau. Remember, God had already promised him the blessing. It was his, but he had to make up this plan to get it. And now that cost him the relationship with his brother. And Esau bore a grudge against him, and he was able to do this because Isaac was favorable towards Esau. So Isaac kind of fed that fire, I suppose, throughout their entire lives, because Isaac always liked Esau. And why did he like him so well? Because he liked the food he cooked. So we have here Isaac was going to give the blessing to Esau because he was a better cook than Jacob and a better hunter. So spirituality is gone now. They're not taking the long view at all here now. Everybody, you know, they're just thinking about the moment. A very dysfunctional family. So Esau bore a grudge because of Isaac's favoritism, and Rebekah receives a report of Esau's plans, and she sends Jacob away to Haran. Actually, Haran is a city in Paddan Aram, so when you read those two, sometimes it'll say he went away to Paddan Aram, and sometimes it'll say he went away to Haran, and sometimes it'll say he went away to Laban, and that's Rebekah's brother. So all of those three things are, when you read ahead and you see that he sent him to one of those three places, it's all the same place, really. So now we have in chapter 28, 1 through 5, and we're working on remember our chart that we made of how this all fits together? And chapter 28, 1 through 5 talks about Isaac and the son of the Bechorah. Remember, the Bechorah is the right of the firstborn. And we started this whole section with Isaac and the son of the Bechorah. But the son of the Bechorah, when we started, was Esau. He was the son of the blessing because Isaac had planned to give him the blessing. Now we end the section with Isaac and the son of the Bechorah, but now the son of the Bechorah is Jacob because Jacob has stolen the blessing from Esau. But now in 28:1 through 5, let's read those. 28:1, so Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, an Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So he sent him away. And now Isaac confirms the blessing, only this time he knows perfectly well who he's giving the blessing to. He remembered, apparently, in the meantime, that, hey, Rebekah's right. God did say that Jacob should receive the blessing. So he gives him the blessing, him. And this was a recognition that the younger son was the one that God had chosen to carry on the blessing of Abraham. Now this points out the fact that Rebekah and Jacob had won. They were the winners. But the way they had achieved their victory actually made them the losers, didn't it? As we saw before, their success was only what God had already promised. They devised this big plan and carried it out. And what did they get? What God had already promised to give them. Did they think God was going to go back on his promise or what? They just weren't trusting God. So Isaac sends Jacob away to find a wife in Paddan Aram. And that's the second reason I was talking about. Remember I said there were two reasons that Jacob was sent away? One was to get him away from Esau before Esau could kill him. And the other was to find a suitable wife because was not to marry a Canaanite. And you see that in verse 46, and we'll talk about it a little next hour. In 27:46, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. And the daughters of Heth are the Canaanite girls that Esau had married. And it says, if Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like those from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? In other words, she says, my one son Esau has married these two women who are Canaanites, and apparently they acted like Canaanites. They practiced Canaanite idolatry. And Rebecca finally says, you know, if Jacob does that, then I don't even want to live anymore. It's just that bad. So they sent Jacob away back to her homeland, where Abraham had sent the servant to find a suitable wife for Isaac. And that's where Rebecca came from, remember. So that's another reason. Now, in chapter 28, verse 6 through 9, we have an epilogue. And that is after Esau sees Isaac bless Jacob with no questions. This time wasn't a deception. He finally got through to him that, you know, I did the wrong thing. I married the wrong girls. So we have what you might call a parody of Esau. He goes out and tries to fix things by getting a girl who isn't a Canaanite girl. And we see that in 6 through 9. It says, now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And he was married to two of them, right? He was married to two Canaanite girls. So what could he do to fix that? Well, and Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So he figures, well, if I displeased him, I'll just go get another wife, one that will please him. But even when he tries to do the right thing, it comes out wrong. Why is that? Ishmael isn't of the promised line. So, again, Esau just doesn't get it spiritually. He's just trying to copy or parody what Jacob does to try and get back into his father's good graces. He sees the parents sending Jacob away to find a non-Canaanite wife, and in an attempt to partially correct the situation to get back in the good graces, he goes to his uncle Ishmael's house to get a wife. And actually, that is not the right thing to do anyway. Now he's got three wives to contend with. I mean, three wives to be blessed by. As I said before, you know, you see polygamy in the Old Testament, and it doesn't say much about it or against it, but when you read in the Old Testament, the polygamous people, it never describes their marriage as being a happy marriage. It's always non-happy. Even Solomon, who had everything, who had wives and concubines enough to fill up a city, he was not a happy man. Now, next hour, we'll pick up then with Jacob's vision. And this is going to be very important class when God talks to Jacob. And that is where I believe Jacob finally becomes a believer. I think he becomes a believer. And we'll see that next hour. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this story back in Genesis. Thank you for the fact that we can read these stories and see that you are the one who chooses, and that when we attempt to get in your way and do your work for you, that we do nothing but mess it up. Father, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.